Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, whenever or wherever you're listening to this or watching us. This is the Osmo NHL DFS Strategy Show, and I am your host, Michael Clifford, a.k.a. Slim Cliffy. And joining me today for this nine-game slate on what is his fifth Jordan Flu game, I think, so far this season, is Captain America himself, Josh Harris. Josh, how you doing today, bud?
Doing better than I was on Wednesday, and I shout out to Jake for scheduling me off on Thursday and Friday, because there would have been no way I'd been able to do it. I mean, I would have, but it like the producer would have just like blacked me out.
Yeah, if you guys missed the show earlier this week, Josh has been fighting off a little cold and he had a mountain of Kleenex in front of him on Wednesday's show. So he's starting to come around here a little bit. So we're going to bring you this nine game slate here tonight. I was talking to you before the show. You said you didn't get a chance to play much last night because you were pretty much loaded up with as much NyQuil as you could stomach. I didn't do so well last night. Last night was one of those nights where a lot of cash game lineups and those types of builds got there because, you know, full stacks just didn't really do anything. You know, Max Pacioretty got a couple goals. Alex Ovechkin got a couple goals, but their line mates really didn't go off along with them. So if you had broken stacks, if you had cash game lineups, those were the kinds of lineups that did well last night. Not a whole lot really to speak of last night. Like, I think the only thing to talk about last night is about how many of those games find themselves on today's slate.
Yeah, four of them. And they all suck. And now they're on a back-to-back. So, like, goalies are going to be different. So, hopefully, I mean, there's five new games, so there's going to be a nice mix. I kind of like this slate, probably because it's the first one I actually think without hurting in a few days. But, like, I kind of like this. So, hopefully we get you some good low-owned spots and you guys can win some money.
Yeah, I think there are going to be some nice low-owned spots. We'll get to that in a little second. Before we go any further, if we could get you guys out there to like and subscribe on the channel, it really helps us grow this channel, helps us get to the top of the algorithm, all that stuff. Really helps us keep these shows coming to you on a daily basis. Like I said, we do have nine games, so we probably shouldn't waste a ton of time getting to them. So let's get right to our first game. We have the Philadelphia Flyers with a 2.5 implied goal total going into going into New York to face the Islanders. The Islanders have a 3.0 implied goal total. It's been quite the week for the Flyers. They got absolutely blasted 9-0 by the Rangers. Turned around the next game, blew a 3-0 lead, but still managed to pull out a 4-3 win. We've seen guys come in and out of the lineup. We saw Travis Konecny move alongside Claude Giroux and Jakub Voracek move alongside Kevin Hayes. So that's one expected line change here. There may be some other changes to come at warmups. You know, like I said, with Philly, they've been scratching defensemen like Gostisbehere or Prosser or whomever. So we'll see what their lineups look like or what their defensemen look like at warmups. But we have a pretty good idea what the forwards are going to like here. So what do you like out of this game, Josh?
To be honest, I don't like much in this game. Excuse me. So the first thing you notice is the Philly one price has come down a lot. They're in the 17,000s. They're up a few weeks ago, like 21.3, something like that. But they're going to get the Brock Nelson, Josh Bailey, Anthony Beauvillier line. And that line has been very good this season. Islanders are very good defensively. They don't take many penalties. excuse me. So that being said, like, I understand if you want to get there in MME, they fully correlate on the second power play or 1B, whatever you want to call it. I think, you know, they're going to be low owned. So I think you could take a couple stabs in MME, but one of the three lineups, I'm not interested. And then because the Brock Nelson line is going to go into Couturier, that takes me out on the Nelson line. Now the Barzal Eberle Bellows line is going to get the Giroux Konecny Lindblom line. And I think that's an okay matchup. But Kiefer Bellows' price has come up from 2,500 to 4,200, which is a bit too expensive for my taste. So yeah, if you want to use them since they're fully correlated power play one, I think you can. But in a limited amount of lineups, they're not going to be a priority for me. But I think in MME, it does make sense to get a little bit. So really, to me, on the Flyer side, I'll probably have, you know, if I was MMEing, I'd probably have a little bit of one-off Jakub Voracek. He's 3,600 on the top power play. I think you could do that. Konecny, 4,100 is also cheap. You want a duo with Hayes, Voracek is fine, or Giroux, Konecny. But really, on this slate, I'm going to be underweight on the field on the whole game, and it's really an MME game for me.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I don't think it's a very good matchup for Philly. Like, I get the low ownership angle, and I think you're right. An MME, you probably want some Philly one because they're going to be so low owned here. The thing with the Islanders' second line, like, I agree with you, it's a bad matchup going into Travis Konecny, but they're playing a ton lately. Like, that's kind of the one thing that's drawing my eye a little bit to the Islanders' second line. You mentioned it, and I'll just mention it again. It's a bad matchup going into Sean Couturier, but the line is 13,300. And Brock Nelson has played at least 19 minutes in four straight games, and I think Josh Bailey's played at least 19 minutes in three straight games. Like, since they've been started to use them as a shutdown line, they're getting a lot more ice time. So that's kind of like, that's kind of the one thing that's drawing me a little bit to the Islanders second line, is like, you could probably get them for, you know, under 5% as a fully, not a fully correlated, yeah, fully correlated line. And like, they're going to play 19, 20 minutes. So like, I don't have a problem playing that Islanders second line, you know, once or twice as a filler, if you're playing a ton of lineups, but I'm with you, mostly being out on this game. I do have a little bit of interest in Giroux and Konecny, as a two man. And the reason for that is basically just Claude Giroux, I still think, is a pretty good playmaker. Like, he's definitely not the player that he was 3 or 4 years ago, but I still think he's a good enough playmaker to make someone like Travis Konecny good. And Konechny's just a really good goal scorer, like, on his own. Like, he, you know, 24 goals a year, like clockwork. And they both play the same power play unit together with Ivan Provorov, so you can throw the three of them in together. I don't think it's really necessary because the Islanders don't take a lot of penalties, but that's kind of where I'm at on this one. Maybe a little Islanders 2 in MME. Giroux, Konecny, two-man, I don't mind that either, but that's probably about it from the forwards. From the defensemen, like, I'd probably just correlate wherever I had Islanders and Flyers. Like, Provorov is probably the one guy that's really catching my eye here because he's back on the power play. He's back playing heavy minutes, and he's 4,300. Any other defensemen for you?
I mean, Sebastian Aho, 2,800 top power play, but I don't know. It kind of feels like chasing, like, with Noah Hanifin the other night. But if you're playing Isles 1, I think Aho makes sense. And you look at Pulak's ownership in our first ownership run, he's like 17%, which is really high for Pulak. So I'd probably be off him for an ownership play. But if you are playing Isles 1, Pulak makes sense.
Yeah, and I don't want to badmouth Pulak because I feel like Jake is definitely watching this show, and he's going to sense when I'm badmouthing Pulak. I just want to mention, it was pointed out in chat that, yeah, Islanders 2 aren't fully correlated. Beauvillier is on the top power play unit, so it does take away some of that correlation. Thanks for pointing that out. Goalies, Hart down at 7,200. I guess it's fine if you want super cheap, but I don't even really want to play Carter Hart at that price.
No, and shot volume in this game is concern. So I think, like, I get it because we always talk about cheap goalies on the road are going to see volume, but I just don't know if the big volume is going to be there. So I'm kind of off the goalies in this game.
Yeah, I agree with you. Okay, let's move along. We'll get to our next game then. We have the Columbus Blue Jackets with a 2.3 implied goal total going into Carolina. Carolina has a 3.3 implied goal total. As you can probably imagine, Columbus's lines are a little bit of a mess. The only duos I'm really counting on for Columbus here are Stenlund and Jenner, Roslovic and Atkinson, and Foligno and Line 8. Those are basically the duos that I'm putting in my lineups, or putting in at least in my projections. As far as what the full line combinations are going to be, like, this is John Tortorella. You can't rely on a three-man combination to stay together for 20 minutes. That's just kind of the way it is. So those are the pairings that I see on Columbus. On the Carolina side, looks like Teravainen is still going to be out. Looks like Trocheck is still going to be out. Trocheck's probably going to be out for a little while, so I don't think we have to worry about him for a while. I think there should be some interest, at least on one of the sides here. What do you have interest in here, Josh?
This game's kind of tough because you don't really know the line matching. You don't know what Torts is really going to do with his lines. So you kind of have to just go with lines here. I mean, there's not really a line on the Columbus Blue Jackets where you go, wow, I don't want to go into them. So I think, you know, either the top two lines are fine. I think I think if you want to do something like a Stahl-Svetch, Dougie, I think that's okay. Or an Aho Neches, Dougie, or you just want to full stack the top line, I think that's fine. Like the Columbus doesn't take many penalties, so power play stacking maybe isn't like a great thing to do, one of the three lineups. And since Werenski's been back, they've been much better defensively. So I think this is just a spot where you can go full lines here. And is either the top line or the second line is fine for me on Carolina. They have a nice total. Their ownership isn't very high. I think you can go there. On the Columbus side, it's really tough with Torts. Like the last game, he said Kevin Stenlund's going to be out, and then he ended up being in. He scored a goal. So you really have to be around for warm-ups and hope the beats send out the lines. So I'm kind of off on them. If you want to get in like a Toronto power play or an Edmonton power play, I think there is this third line is cheap, and I think you can use them. And the one thing we know about Tortorella is he's going to play Boone Jenner. He loves Boone Jenner. He's not going to get, you know, 12, 13 minutes. He's going to get his 17, 18 minutes. So Jenner and Stenlin correlate on the second power play. Not that that matters much. They're super cheap. You can get in whoever you want with them. And I think it's a decent matchup going into Carolina 3.
Yeah, I agree with you. I have a little bit of one-off Stenlin here in my lineups. One of those $2,500 guys that you can just stuff in for cheap, because like Carolina with their injuries, Carolina is a deep team, which is why with their injuries they can still run a pretty good top six, but you know, with their injuries they just don't have a good third line anymore. So I'm with you, Jenner and Stenlin, maybe a one-off or something like that. The thing about Columbus is like they have been better defensively, but like I have no problem attacking any line that has Patrick Laine on it, you know what I mean? Like we've talked about, he can be bad enough to sink an entire line defensively. So I would have no problem targeting Patrick Laine tonight. That would be Svechnikov and Stahl. So I'm definitely going to make sure I have at least some one-off Svechnikov here tonight. I think he makes sense as a one-off if you don't want to stack the full line. But if I was to stack a full line from Carolina here, it'd be probably the Carolina second line. I want to make sure I get as much of that Laine matchup as possible. It's just, I'm with you. I'm not super big on full stacking either of the, you know, any of the lines out of this game. On the Columbus side, it's because they just don't stay together. And on the Carolina side, it's because Columbus just doesn't take a lot of penalties. And as you said, they have been getting better defensively. So maybe a little Carolina too, something like one off Stenlin or Jenner or something like that. That's probably going to be it for me from the forwards. From the defensemen, Jacob Slavin played a ton of minutes last game, and I don't want to rely on, you know, a single game minute spike. You know, he's up near 26 minutes in an overtime loss. But he's one of those guys that, you know, we talk about in the mid-range, like an Alec Martinez last night. Like if you don't want to go all the way up, you know, from Martinez is up to Theodore, down to Coughlin, Coughlin today for Carolina, it'd be going all the way up to somebody like Dougie Hamilton, all the way down to Jake Bean. I think Jacob Slavin makes sense, especially as a one-off here tonight.
Yeah, and if you could fit in Dougie, I'd do it. But he's 7,300. That's pretty price prohibitive unless you have like two mid-range lines that you really like. And on the Columbus side, I think you could play Werenski or Jones at 4,800, or dive down to David Savard at 3,100.
Yeah, David Savard, he's been blocking shots like a madman. Somebody just pointed that out in our chat. You know, over his last little stretch of games, 4 blocks last game, 3 blocks a game before that, 6 blocks a game before that, 2 blocks a game before that. Nice little stretch of shot blocking for David Savard. Let's hope he can keep it up here tonight. Is it Mr. Lickens night?
It's always Mr. Lickens night, and he's 6,700. So, yeah. Like, if he was 7,700, I would have some pause, but at 6,700, I think he's a better goalie than Korpisalo, first of all.
Yeah.
And my thing with Carolina has always been like their expected goals are super high and sometimes they just don't score. But so the volume's going to be there at 6,700. So if he could sneak out a win, I think that'd be great. He actually might be popular tonight just because of his price and how Columbus has gotten better defensively. And there's some injuries on Carolina, but 6,700, I think you definitely have to consider him.
Yeah. Mr. Lickens, Elvis Merzlikins is definitely one of my favorite goalies here on the night. All right, before we move along to the rest of our games, just want to talk a little bit about our brand new sponsor here. Our sponsor, the sponsor of the show, is Jock Market. Now, Jock Market has turned fantasy sports into a stock exchange. It allows you to buy and sell shares of players in real time for real money with guaranteed payouts for all shares at the end of each night. With daily markets for NBA, NHL, and PGA, you can make real money every hour, every minute, every second of any match or game. Use a pregame IPO to pick up shares of your favorite players, then buy, sell, or hold during the game based on your analysis. Download the app to get started and use our exclusive Osmo promo code Osmo20 for a $20 bonus on your first deposit. This is an exclusive offer only for the Osmo community, so make sure to take advantage of it today. That's Osmo20 at Jock Market. So get on Jock Market and start winning some money over there. All right, let's keep this rolling. We got a bunch of games to get through, so let's get to the next one. Dallas with a 3.1 implied goal total going into Detroit. The Red Wings have a 2.3 implied goal total. One of the notes is that Bobby Ryan is expected to be back tonight for Detroit. Now, I didn't see them with a morning skate today. I believe it was optional, but I suspect since they went 11-7 last game, they'll scratch somebody like Patrick Nemeth on the blue line. Or whomever, doesn't really matter as long as it's not Hronik. They're going to scratch somebody on the blue line, and Ryan's going to come in on the second line with Nemestikov and Zadina. That's my prediction. Dallas has been using Miro Heiskanen a lot. I think he's one of my favorite defensemen on the entire slate, but let's stick to the forwards first. What do you like from the forwards out of this game? Because I think this seems like one of those games where I think it might get overlooked a little bit. And as I look through our ownership, like, we don't have a lot on Dallas. So what do you like here on either side?
So is Pavelski still stuck on this fourth line? Is that like a thing?
Well, I mean, whether you want to believe that Pavelski's on the fourth line or not is up to you. He played 19 minutes last game. Yeah, so okay. You know what I mean? Yeah. He's not going to play 11 minutes tonight.
I guess what I meant, like, with his line mates and not up with Radulov and Ben. So Hintz is a game time decision as always. If he's in, I like this second line because they're going to get the Nemestikov Zadina Ryan matchup. And Nemestikov is not an NHL center. He's okay on the wing, I guess, but he's just bad defensively as a center. So the Hintz, Gurianov, Robertson line is going to get that Nemestikov line. I think that favors Dallas there. As long as Hintz is in, I'm interested in that second line. I think that top line's fine. They're going to get Glendening, Ernie, and Helm, if that's the line. I think that's fine as well. I know, you know, Jason Dickinson's not a popular name, but he's 3,300. So it's not going to hamper you. Like, you put him in, you save some salary. I think that's okay. And on the Detroit side, so I didn't see the line matching from last game, but generally what Blassel does is put Larkin out against the bottom six. And if he's going to go out against the Fasca line, that's not something I want to do. Did he do that last night?
They put out the Adam Ernie line against Dallas 1 mostly, and then Larkin went out a fair amount against the second line and then some against the third line. So basically just the middle six.
Okay, so, I mean, that top line is kind of getting pricey. 6,300 for Larkin, 5,300 for Mantha, 4,500 for Fabry, and they don't correlate on the power play for whatever reason. I'm done trying to figure out what Blassel is doing, so I'm kind of underweight on the wings tonight. I know Whiskers is going to be relieved. So for me, this is about Dallas 2, if Hintz is in. I still think if they do see some time against Larkin, that's still a decent matchup. I know the Wings have been decent defensively, but I really want to see that time against the Nemestikov line. So I think I like some defensemen in this game, but really when it comes down to it, this is about Dallas 2 for me.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that because Dallas 2 is one of my favorite fillers on the entire slate, actually. They're a little bit expensive for a filler, like Hintz and Gurianov come in averaging about 4,600 on DK, 4,650. So it is, you know, it's not like a super cheap filler, but I do like that too, man. Throw on Esa Lindell if you want. Lindell playing on that second power play. Lindell is also a guy that can put up blocks. He can put up shots. He's been regularly playing like 24 to 25 minutes of late, even though it went down a little bit in his last game. So I do like Hinskery and off Lindell here tonight. I'm not in so much on the Red Wings. Like you said, the price has really come up on that top line. 16-1 going into Dallas. That's just not a good matchup for them, especially with the broken power play correlation. Like if they were together on the power play, I think that's one argument you could make. But broken power play correlation against a pretty good defensively Dallas team. So I'm out pretty much completely on Detroit. I don't think I have a single Detroit player in my lineup tonight. I'm all over the Dallas side, mostly Dallas 2. But if you want to throw in some Dallas 1, I have no problem with that. I'm just basic, like for defensemen, I'm basically just correlating. Like for my Dallas 2, like Hintz and Gurianov, or actually, I wouldn't even worry about correlating that much because they basically just play three or four defensemen anyway.
Yeah, I think Heiskanen at 5,200 is maybe standalone the best one-off defenseman tonight. At his price, like points per dollar, I think he's one of the best plays. I prefer him over Klingberg if you have to use someone on the power play too. And then if you're using Dallas too and you want to correlate, Esso and Dell's fine. On the Detroit side, I don't have any interest. Chronics in no man's land price-wise. I don't want to spend $4,500 for a Detroit defenseman tonight.
Yeah, I agree with you. Definitely don't want to do that. So in net, they said still no update on Jonathan Bernier. So it looks like he's going to be out with Thomas Greiss starting. I think Anton Hudobin's a little bit too expensive on the road. So I don't know if I'm going to have either goal here.
Yeah. 8,500, you have to have a shutout, and it's certainly possible he gets one, but I don't want to pay 8,500 to find out, because if he gives up one goal, his value shot. And if you consider Merzlikens at 6,700, I guess you have to give some thought to Greiss at 6,600. But if you're like jamming in expensive stuff, I would find the extra 100 for Merzlikens over the Greiss fire.
I think so too, especially where like there isn't really a bunch of ownership to be worried about. Like we have Merzlikens at 7%. Even if he comes in at 10%, I'm not worried about a 10% goalie on a 9-game slate. All right. Let's move it along to one that's going to have probably some interest from both sides, given what we just saw recently. Calgary with a 2.7 implied goal total are going into Toronto. The Flames have a 3.4 implied goal total. Safe to say that anybody that stacked out of this game last night may have been a bit disappointed, because we had 7 goals, but no real huge fantasy performances. I mean, there may have been one or two. I think Rasmus Anderson had a couple assists, but nothing really massive to speak of. But, you know, we have a 6 goal total here, 3.4 implied total on the Toronto side. So I think there should be some interest probably on both sides here, especially where we're probably going to see both backup goalies. What do you have interest in this one, Josh?
Yeah, so Campbell and big save Dave Riddick are probably going to be in net tonight. This game definitely underwhelmed for considering how many goals there were last night. And then tonight, right, so you have to make a choice if you're having a limited amount of lineups. It's either going to be the Leafs or the Edmonton Oilers if you want to spend up. But I think I prefer the Leafs tonight. They're expensive. Joe Thornton brings the cost down a little bit. I've been back and forth on Thornton all season. He's been a pain in my side since like 2003, but like I think you got to play him tonight, right? You put him in, because I don't think Dave Riddick's very good. Calgary has been better defensively. We talked about it on Wednesday since Sutter has taken over, but like they got exposed after we talked about how Sutter has improved them. They just got rolled. So like I think, you know, Matthews is getting healthier. Maybe he's still not 100%, but he's definitely better than he was a few weeks ago. That the line with Thornton is just incredible defense. Like they have great numbers with Thornton. So like, it's hard for me to consistently bash him. He's been playing very well. Yeah, they're going to get the Lindholm-Kachuk matchup, but they also are going to see some time against Monahan-Gaudreau, which is just like Simpsons, Homer Simpson drool.gif. So like, I think you put him in, fully correlated power play one, And then I think people may go back to the second line because they're going to get, you know, the Gaudreau matchup. Tavares, Nylander, Galchenyuk still 2,500. He looked like someone who didn't want to go back down to the minors. So at 2,500, I think you can still play him. And then on the Calgary side, I like this third line. I know going into Kerfoot and Soup and Hyman, not the best matchup, but they're cheap. They're filler line. They've had great numbers this season. I don't mind them as a filler line. And then Calgary too, Monahan, Gaudreau, I think going into Tavares, Nylander and Galchenyuk is better than Lindholm, Kachuk going into Matthews. So for me, Calgary 2 and 3. And then I really like Toronto 1, Toronto power play, and Toronto 2.
Yeah, I'm glad you said Toronto 1 because I'm in a lot on Toronto 1 here tonight. I don't expect a whole lot of ownership on the full line. Last night on a 5-game slate, this Mitch Marner was 16%. So on a 9-game slate, he's probably going to be roughly half that. You know what I mean? Like I could see Mitch Marner coming in the single digits here tonight. And you're right about the line matching. They didn't really like hard match the lines, which is actually pretty nice to see. Cause like you said, it's going to get Matthews out against that Gaudreau line. And Joe Thornton only played a handful of minutes out against that Gaudreau line. And the Gaudreau line didn't have a single shot attempt on net. So I think it's a really bad matchup for Calgary. Like I'm not going to begrudge anybody for going on the Flames. They're probably going to come in at low ownership. They're in the Dallas spot, just in a worse spot where they're going to come in they're basically in that Philly spot where they're going to come in at low ownership in a bad matchup. And that's the reason for playing them, is that they're low ownership and against a backup goalie, at least in this game. But like, that's not really low ownership on a 9-game slate really doesn't do it for me, because I can find low ownership in better spots elsewhere. So that's kind of what's just keeping me off from Calgary. I don't think I have a single Flame stack in my lineup here tonight. I am in heavy on the Toronto top line. I am doing some stuff. I do have Thornton in some lineups. I do have Zach Hyman in some, because like, as Jake mentioned, Zach Hyman has been playing. He plays some even strength shifts on the top line, especially late in games. So he's not going to play there maybe much in the first or second period, but probably a fair bit in the third. The one thing that's really worrying me here is Toronto changed up their power play last night, right? They went to a heavily stacked top power play unit. And, you know, that's probably better for the team. And it's probably better for the players we use, like Matthews and Marner and all that. But it takes away value from those ancillary players like Wayne Simmonds and Jason Spezza and those guys. Those guys that we'd slide into the lineups to bring down the average cost per player. We just can't use those players. Or we can't use them with the same confidence that we had before. Not that you'd ever play Wayne Simmonds and Jason Spezza with a ton of confidence. But you don't even know if they're getting power play minutes, or at least on the top PP unit. So just something to be wary of there. Noah Hanifin, still power play 1. Is he going to find his way into your stacks? What do you like for defenseman?
It's up to 3,600. It's still reasonable for power play 1. It's just not a great spot. I mean, it kind of feels chasey again, but if you're down to like 3,700 or around that for your final piece, I don't mind it. I like Mark Giordano too. Like 5,400 is a bit pricey for the matchup back to back. He got there last night too. So I think if you're around there, I think I'd rather play like a Werenski or Jones in that price range, or Haskinen for $200 less. But if you're on the Flames, I think, you know, Giordano makes sense. On the Leaf side, if I'm going power play 1 or Leafs 1, I'll try to get in Riley. I don't really like him as a one-off. And then Jake Muzzin's kind of in no man's land again, 4,500 mid-price defenseman range. But if you are in that price, if you're shopping in that area for a defenseman, I like Muzzin.
Yeah, don't mind Muzzin either. Both goalies, backup goalies, don't really have. But the thing is, like I say backup goalie, it's not like David Riddick is definitely the backup in Calgary. Don't get me wrong. On that part. But in Toronto, I think there's an argument to make that Jack Campbell might be the better goalie now.
Yeah. Freddie looks lost positionally. Maybe it's just a mechanics thing. Who knows? But I like Campbell. I don't know if I want to pay 8,200 for him though.
Yeah, I think it'd be a case like if I had the money in a Toronto stack, I'd say, yeah, go ahead. But I wouldn't go out of my way to play Jack Campbell. All right, let's move it along to the next game. One, another one that probably disappointed some people last night. Vancouver Canucks with a 2.6 implied goal total are going into Montreal. The Habs have a 3.4 implied goal total. Braden Holtby already confirmed for Vancouver. Thankfully, we don't have to go up against Patrick Demko again. I'm getting so sick of that guy. Like, good, great. He's playing well. Kudos to him, you know, to the Canucks fans. I just hate it. So glad to see Braden Holtby back in the lineup. Assuming we're going to get Carey Price, seeing as Jake Allen played last night. So it's probably going to be Holtby up against Price. Montreal did move around their lineup a little bit last night. Corey Perry got moved up to the third line. Joel Armia got moved down to the fourth. Nothing significant, but the one thing that does do, like, that's only assuming they keep those lines together for the start of this game. We don't know exactly if they're going to do that. But the one thing it does is, like, it just brings Corey Perry a little bit more minutes, right? Like, he's a guy you would never play before because he's playing so few minutes, secondary power play. But now, if he's actually going to be up to 13 or 14 minutes, like, I guess we actually do have to talk about him. Montreal is probably going to garner some ownership. We have the top line as one of the highest owned lines on the slate, at least so far in our first run. What do you like here, Josh?
Well, the first thing is, I used some Canadians last night, actually. And I got burned because Demko's been playing out of his mind. So I think I'm going back to the Canadians tonight just because Holtby is whatever he is at this point. The thing that does concern me is the ownership on this top line. They're super cheap. They are going to get the Horvat matchup, which is, I guess, the best defensive line on the Canucks. But, like, I don't know what that's really saying. So without Demko there, I think, you know, the Canadians are in a very good spot. 17% Gallagher in our first run, that does concern me a little bit. If I do see them go down a little bit, I'll have more confidence putting them in. I think for me, I like the Suzuki Toffoli Corey Perry line. They're going to get depth of Canucks here. I don't mind Corey Perry, 2,500. As long as he doesn't, like, cross-check someone right in front of the referee, he should get his minutes. He's actually been playing hockey recently, which is the biggest concern. So Suzuki Toffoli, 12,000. Corey Perry makes that line 14,500. I think that's a nice pivot off the Deneau line. Who's going to see Horvat? Suzuki line is going to see whatever line. Like, JT, like, people love playing these Canucks lines, but as long as JT Miller is a center, I'm going to attack that line. Now, I think that JT Miller, Jimmy Vesey, Virtanen line is going to get ownership just because Vesey's power play won 2,500, Miller 6,800, Virtanen's 2,900. But, like, until Elias Pettersson comes back and these lines can get people where they're supposed to be, I'm off the Canucks. So for me, I like all three lines for Montreal. I'm off on the Canucks. If the ownership comes down to Montreal one, I'm in on them. I like the Suzuki Toffoli line better after that, and then the Kotkaniemi, Anderson, Drouin after that. But I think all three are in play.
Yeah, I'll just say flat out, I did all my crunches in my lineups before I looked at ownership, which was probably a mistake. Because I have a fair amount of Montreal one, and we had, like I said, we have Montreal one as one of the highest owned lines on the slate. We have Brendan Gallagher right now at 17%. We have Phil Deneau at 12%. We have the entire lineup looks like it's going to be fairly highly owned tonight. There's a reason for that. It's a very good line. They're at home with a high total, and they can fit in with other stuff like Edmonton and Washington and all that. So there is a good reason for that. I'm still going to go to Montreal one. Like, I think on a 9-game slate, even if they come, even if that full line comes in at like 12 or 13%, you should be able to get different enough elsewhere in your lineup to not get duplicated on a 9-game slate. So I'm still in on Montreal one. I'm not in on Vancouver a whole lot. I do like that Tyler Motte's price has come down quite a bit, but, like, I don't know how much Tyler Motte we can actually play, right? He played 15 and a half minutes last game. If he's not going to get PP1, I'm probably not in on Tyler Mott. So I'm not in a whole lot on Vancouver. On the for the defenseman, Shea Weber at 4,900 feels like an auto lock, but he's not really shooting a ton. His shot rate has come up as the year's gone on. He's been up to about 2.5 over the last few weeks, I believe. But that pairing with Joel Edmondson looks like kind of a mess. Like, they have a tough time moving the puck when they're on the ice. So, like, Weber's pretty much just a shot bot on the power play now. Like, if he can let loose his one-timer, great. If he can't, he's pretty much useless.
Yeah.
For fantasy, anyway.
I have a tough time putting in these expensive Montreal Canadiens. I like Kulak at 2,500. So, unless you're correlating power play, I think Weber's fine. Or you want a one-off Petrie or put him in on the set, use him with Montreal one, that's fine, but I think I'm going to go all the way down to Kulak if I'm using a Canadian defenseman.
Yeah, I like that the prices have come down, but I think that might actually drive some ownership there too. So I think that's kind of the concern. I'm probably just going to end up using Weber like a fish. I probably shouldn't, but I'm probably going to end up doing that. All right, before we get along to our next games, just want to give a shout out to our free content here today. Our free content, we have NHL player projections up on the site today. We have our MMA top fighters tool up on the site today. We have NBA ownership projections up on the site today. So as always, we have some free stuff to give that's available on the site. So anybody that's watching us right now, if it's your first time watching, you want to check out what we have to offer over at osmo.com, just head on over there. We have free NBA ownership projections, NHL player projections, and the MMA top fighters tool. Okay. Hopping over to our next game, another redux from last night. We have the New York Rangers with a 2.7 implied goal total going into Washington. Washington with a 3.3 implied goal total. Washington looks like they're getting Tom Wilson back. He just finished his 7-game suspension. I assume he's going to come in on the second line and push Daniel Sprong down, but that's yet to be confirmed that I've seen. They switched around Evgeny Kuznetsov and Alex Backstrom a little bit last game. Now we're expecting them to I expect these lines to kind of get messed up like through the game. Right now we have Kuznetsov with Ovechkin and Oshie. I just expect the centers just to kind of get messed up all game. So what do you like out of this game, Josh?
So the Rangers have gotten healthy. They've gotten Trouba back. Fox missed the game in the COVID protocols. Panarin's back. They've been playing better defensively. And they played well last night defensively against the Caps. The problem is tonight, Keith Kincaid's probably going to be in that, which is a problem. Georgiev is good. He tends to overcommit on some stuff, which is a problem. But they shut down Ovechkin until like the last couple minutes where he scored twice. I have a tough time trying to figure out what I want to do here because Ovechkin is really expensive. And I think I'd rather play Matthews and McDavid over him. Obviously, if you want to jam him in, you can, but I really need to see lines here, but I'd be off this game if it wasn't for Kincaid. Right. So I think I'm in a fade and pray scenario and hope Kincaid like doesn't kill me. And he keeps this game remotely close. So like I'm kind of off the Caps here. I don't mind. Like if you want to go to the Caps, it's certainly fine. I kind of want to see what happens with the Lions. But if it is Ovechkin, Backstrom, and Oshie still, I think you can use them. I just think the Rangers are playing better and it's a back-to-back. The one thing that gives me pause is just Kincaid. And I'm kind of on the team that goalie skill doesn't matter, but like Kincaid's just so bad that, like, I think in MME, I definitely have some Caps here. On the Rangers side, if Lars Eller is still out, I think you can MME that second line. The price is coming up pretty good. So I'm kind of off the top line. I like Panarin Strome combo. It is pricey. I think it's an MME type deal. And if you need a cheap filler, I think, you know, that third line, they may get run over defensively. But Lafreniere, Hedl, and Kako, like at some point they're going to start playing better. They're super cheap. They're a filler. They let you get in like the Torontos or the Edmontons. I think you can take a small stab on them in MME.
Okay, so I want to talk about the Rangers because I'm not a big believer in these Caps lines. Going back to last year, these lines as constructed, the Caps top line 41.7 expected goal share, 2.8 expected goals against per 60 minutes. The only reason they haven't gotten blown out of the water is because they've gotten 960 goaltending. If you look at the second line's actually been a lot better. So Backstrom, Vrana, and Wilson, 53% expected goal share. So they've actually been good. But that top line, you know, we've talked about Kuznetsov being better this year. So maybe that top line does come along a little bit with Kuznetsov playing better this year. But Alex Ovechkin, for as great as he is offensively, he's not good defensively. So, and Kuznetsov, he's been good play driving offensively, but he hasn't been great defensively this year. So that top line wouldn't be great defensively doesn't really surprise me. And the thing that Washington has been doing lately is sending out the Garnett Hathaway, Carl Hagelin duo as a shutdown line. And that's been pushing, you know, stuff like Ovechkin down to the second and third lines. Now that's good for Ovechkin in a sense. But I think that's actually also better for the Rangers second line for Strome, Blackwell and Panarin, because now they're going to get that soft Ovechkin or soft Kuznetsov matchup or whatever. And that second line for the Rangers has been really good this year. 68.5% expected goal share. They've been dominating. So, like, I really like that Rangers second line here today. And I can't believe I'm saying I like the Rangers second line on the road, but I do. So I'm going to focus mostly on Strome and Panarin because they get the power play correlation. But I don't mind throwing Colin Blackwell in there to drop the average cost a little bit. I'm with you on the Caps. Anything I do from Washington, it'd be a power play stack. But I really don't have a lot of Caps here tonight. On the blue line, I think with Washington, it's pretty much same old, put in Carlson with your cap stacks. Don't put him in you might be able to get away with it, but I'd probably just pay up for a different defenseman elsewhere. On the Rangers side, Keandre Miller's still relatively cheap.
Yeah, Keandre Miller, power play 2, 3,300. I think Trouba, 4,400 is in play. If you're using Stroman, Panarin, obviously Fox at 5,300. I like these Rangers defensemen better than I do the cap side, which is maybe me being a homer, but because I watch them all the time. But Kadri Miller is underpriced still for what he does, and so is Trouba, really. Trouba's a better fantasy player than he is an actual hockey player, but 4,400 is too cheap.
Yeah, 4,400, I agree, is too cheap. I assume you're not playing Keith Kincaid, so Ilya Samsonov?
I like Samsonov. I don't know if this is the spot. 7,800 is okay at home. Rangers on a back-to-back. They put up 34 shots, I think, last night. I mean, if you're using caps, I think you can correlate with Samsonov. I don't know if I consider him in a one-off role.
Yeah, I agree with you there. All right. Next game, moving along to Arizona with a 2.8 implied goal total going into Anaheim. Anaheim has a 2.5. implied goal total. We're expecting both Jamie Drysdale coming off his impressive debut and Trevor Zegras to both be in the Anaheim lineup. Arizona works. I suspect that Garland, Schmaltz, and Keller are going to stay together and be a line in this game. So that's a line I have a lot of interest in. Do you have interest in them, Josh?
Yeah. I think that's the only piece from this game, really, unless you want to go back to the Ducks. But like we've talked about before, ice time's a problem. And also, like, I think from the Ducks, like, Jamie Drysdale still min price if you want to put him in your lineup. After he played 18 minutes in his NHL debut, had a multi-point game, I think he's okay. But Ducks as a whole, really, ice time's an issue. They kind of play all four lines like they're all third lines, is a way I guess I would put it. So maybe the Getzlaf for Caroline gets more minutes than everyone else, but like, Troy Terry's been playing better with Zegras, but like their ice time is bad. So really, the only thing I really like from this game is Keller, Schmaltz, Garland. Their ownership is in check. They're not super expensive. They fully correlate on the power play. So that's really where I'm at in this game. Anything else really is just like one-off here and there, but this game is rough.
Yeah, it is a rough game, especially where like Anaheim constantly changes up their lines. They even changed them up the last game. They moved Max Jones off the top line, if I'm not mistaken. So like what the Arizona, you know, or sorry, what the Anaheim lines are going to look like exactly, we don't really know, but we can bet, you know, Getzlaff and Raquel are probably going to be together. Silverberg and Henrique and Zegras, or no, on Silverberg, Henrique and Zegras. Henrique, Zegras, and Terry are probably going to be together. But they didn't play a lot last game. They only played about 12 minutes. So, like you said, that's the problem with the Anaheim. They're not really giving their top players a ton of ice time. And the other thing with the Anaheim is they're still using the fourth line as a pseudo shutdown line. And Derek Grant and Nick Delorier this year have a 27.9% expected goal share in their minutes together. If they go out, like Schmaltz, Garland, and Keller have a 3.0 expected goals for per 60 minutes this year and 4.5 actual goals for. They've been great as a top line. That's why we're playing them here tonight. I'm with you. Arizona 1 is the only thing I have out of this game other than Chychrun. I really do like Chychrun here tonight. And I don't mind Goligoski either as a guy to punt down to.
Yeah. I agree on Goligoski. And then if you – I've been playing Ben Hutton. I like Ben Hutton. Shoots the puck. It's 2,700. You're going to get him lower on than Jamie Drysdale, which isn't really saying much. I doubt Jamie Drysdale sees more than like 4%. But I don't know.
Yeah.
I keep wanting to play Ducks, but – every time I talk about them, I just like get a headache. So yeah. I don't think I'm going to be on the Ducks.
They do seem like a team to just maybe kind of one off somebody like Henrique or Raquel or something like that. Just watch your goalies here. And it looks like Antti Raanta may still be hurt. Maybe Aiden Hill tonight. Ryan Miller almost certainly going to go for Anaheim as well. I don't have interest in either of those. Do you?
Yeah. I mean, if Aiden Hill was cheaper, I would, but 7,700 on the road. Yeah, it's the Ducks, but like, shot volume is going to be an issue. So if he was like 6,900, 7,000, 7,100, I've had interest, but 7,700, no thanks.
Yeah, I'm with you there. All right, before we move along, just if you want to get access to all the great Osmo Plus tools that we keep talking about here over and over, like ownership projections and top stacks and all that, for nearly every DFS sport out there, you can do so with an Osmo Plus weekly pass for $29.95. This includes full access to all the premium content and tools on Osmo.com, including player projections, ownership projections, our premium Slack channel, and our new March Madness package with the college DFS projections for every slate. If you're only looking to play NHL DFS, you can sign up for our NHL, our Osmo Plus NHL weekly package for $11.95. You can stop guessing and start winning. Join Osmo Plus today. And when you join the Osmo Plus website, you really join a community here. The tools and the projections are great, but you gain access to our premium Slack channel where you can talk strategy and a variety of other topics with your fellow DFS players. You can participate in office hours with our Osmo experts, and you can stay up to date on the latest projections from Alex Osmo Baker himself. It's a very popular feature amongst a lot of our subscribers. We're sitting there talking all day. We're talking hockey. We're talking top shots. We're talking just about we're talking stocks. We're talking just about everything that can come up in a normal conversation. So if you want to join, head on over to osmo.com, sign up for our Platinum Plus weekly pass and join our Slack chat. All right, we got a couple games left to get to. So let's get to one of them right now. St. Louis Blues, 3.3 implied goal total going into San Jose. San Jose Sharks with a 2.7 implied goal total. Just to set the stage a little bit here, we have San Jose 1 on our current ownership run as very heavily projected. In fact, we have them all over 23%, which is just absolutely wild. Jaden Schwartz played like 22 minutes last night, and he's still 2,500. So there's probably stuff on both sides here. Josh, what do you have?
Yeah, so this ownership on the Sharks top line is absolutely wild, but their price came down from yesterday. And they're going to get Ville Husso. And the Blues are still pretty bad because Parayko's out. So I like the Sharks top line. I do. Don't get me wrong. But like 24%, I don't know. I don't know if I want to eat chalk Sharks. Like,
man, like I would say if they're 20% on a 9-game slate, I would just full fade.
Yeah, I agree. And plus, like, they kind of mixed their line matching a little bit. Like Couture saw some time against O'Reilly and Perron, but they also saw a little bit of time against Shen Tarasenko. So like, if Hurdle Meyer is going to see this Shen Tarasenko Schwartz line, I kind of like Hurdle Meyer again. They're coming in less than half owned than the top line. Hurdle got moved to the top power play last game. Meyer's on the second power play unit. They're 9,000 for the duo. They have great numbers together. I think if you're going to go to the Sharks tonight, I think it's going to be Hurdle Meyer. And then on the blue side, like, yeah, I get the Schwartz Shen Tarasenko line. Like, that's perfectly fine. Their ownership is wild as well. The Sharks are bad. Like, this game is not going to be 1-1 like it was yesterday. Like, these are two bad defensive teams. Like, the Blues, with all these injuries, like, yeah, Bozak's back, but, like, Parayko's still out. So it's just a mess, but it's a back-to-back. I get the play, Jaden Schwartz, 2,500. But for me, like, I think I'm going to go – if I was going to go to the Blues, I think I'd go to O'Reilly, Perron, Kyrou. Just because they're more expensive, they're going to be way less owned, and they're going to get a bad Sharks defensive team. And Dubnyk's in net, who's arguably worse than Martin Jones. So I think I'm going to fade the chalky spots and go to less chalky spots in both these games tonight.
Yeah, I'm with you. I like the Hurdle-Meyer combination more. And while we were on the air, actually San Jose dropped their projected lines. It looks like John Leonard is going to join Hurdle and Meyer. John Leonard was there earlier in the year.
Love Leonard.
Yeah, and he's an actual prospect. He's a legitimate prospect. This isn't just some guy they're throwing on the third line. So I think if you're worried about ownership, even on the second line, just going full stack and adding John Leonard there is probably a good way to go about it, because I don't imagine a lot of people are going to be rostering John Leonard here tonight. So I'm with you on that. I'm also with you on the Ryan O'Reilly line for St. Louis. I just want to get away from the ownership. That's basically the only reason. Looking at defensemen, I'm out on Brent Burns and Darley, and I'm just correlating. Other than that, I have nothing else special.
Yeah, I mean, Leonard sees power play time with Meyer too, so like that's a nice little addition there. Burns at 6,000, it's like he's just burning me, really. When you put him into the lineup, so like if you want to go with Sharks second line, you want to put him Burns, that's fine. I guess, like, I'd be more apt to play Carlson. I just don't really like the defenseman in this game. It's just rough. Maybe some Vinny Dunn, but he's up at 3,900. So I think I'm out on defenseman as a whole in this game.
Yeah, I really don't like the D-men here either. Even Burns, like, his shot rates have just been coming down. All right. We got a few minutes left here to finish up. Before we get to our final game, just want to make sure everybody knows that if you're not able to watch your favorite Osmo shows on YouTube, almost all of our Osmo YouTube shows are available through the Osmo Podcast Network. We've got a podcast for every sport. We're available on every major platform. So head on over to osmo.com/podcast to check out the latest. Just leave a 5-star review on one of our podcasts for a chance to win a free month of Osmo Plus Platinum. Good luck, everybody. And if you want to stay up to date on the NHL news, we have our Osmo NHL Twitter handle. It's exactly that, Osmo NHL. So head on over to Twitter and follow Osmo NHL for all our articles, videos, and whatnot. All right, final game of the slate, couple minutes left. Winnipeg with a 2.8 implied goal total going into Edmonton, 3.2 implied goal total. I'll tell you just right off the bat what I have out of this game, and it's very little Edmonton. I have one or two power play stacks because Winnipeg's penalty kill is pretty bad, but I'm mostly in on Winnipeg 2, Dubois and Ehlers and Kyle Connor here. I think it's a great matchup going into Edmonton 2.
I am fully on board with that. They're going to get either the Draisaitl line or the Zach Cassian line, both of which are rough. The power play correlation isn't – I mean, Dubois and Ehlers are on power play 2. Connor's on power play 1. Connor has been great. That line has been good. The Draisaitl line is bad defensively, especially – it's even worse without Yamamoto. The third line is just brutal. That top line going into McDavid, it kind of cancels both of them out for me. Obviously, if – McDavid's kind of a matchup-proof player, obviously. So if you want to play Edmonton 1, would never talk you out of it. But for me, this game is about Winnipeg 2. And I will say, like, people don't prioritize these Edmonton defensemen, Nurse or Barry. So, like, I know they're expensive, but their ownership is really low. So I really like Nurse tonight at 5,900.
Yeah, I do too. I agree with you there. And Winnipeg, I really don't have much for their defensemen either. Just don't like the D-men on their side. They really just don't do a whole lot. Neil Pionk would probably be the guy I would go to. He's had a good season, still plays a ton of minutes. If you're going power play, you can correlate with Morrissey, but I'm not going that direction tonight. So that's why I'm playing more Neil Pionk, and I am definitely putting in some Connor Hellebuck. I'm going to give you a couple seconds to think about your hat trick pick. I'm going to give my hat trick pick right now, and I'm going to just put this out into the universe. Let's put out some good vibes. Breadman, Artemi Panarin, bring it home to us tonight. Artemi Panarin hat trick pick. What do you have for us, Josh?
Clayton Keller.
I love it. All right. For our super producer, Chris, I'm eventually going to spit that out. For Captain America, Josh Harris himself, this is Michael Clifford, a.k.a. Slim Cliffy, saying good luck tonight, everybody.
Good luck.